Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time and talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Arrington.
How's it going, Mr. Ben Arrington?
Good. How are you doing, Mr. Luke Condor with a K?
Yeah, good, man. Well, my coffee's a bit cold, so I guess not so good. What about you? You all right?
I don't mean to wind you up, but my coffee is scalding hot right now. I mean, almost too good a temperature.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Yeah. No, man, my coffee was good, so it's just, you know, what happens in life. Things get shit eventually,
yeah. And you have to end up drinking the horrible, regretful, cold dregs.
Are you a microwaver? Do you, if like your tea's gone cold or something, do you shove it in the microwave for 30 seconds?
I've never done that at all in my life.
I've done it so many times.
Is it worth doing? Is it?
I mean, it's not never going to be as good as the original brew.
No,
but it's a catch. You save your tea.
No one in America's got like an electric kettle, have they? They like, didn't exist.
No, I don't know what they are.
I think people have got like a little hobtop one, or they microwave stuff.
Yeah, they're missing
out. Which is mad, really.
If you get the kettle going, full thing of water, and then leave the lid open, steam machine. Because part of the mechanism that stops it from boiling is there's a pressure buildup inside the kettle. If you leave the lid open, it'll just boil away the water, and it just fills your house with steam. If you want that.
Someone asked, Luke, can we get a steam room in this house? And you just went, yes. We definitely don't need one of them.
Don't know how good it is on the walls and the paint and the like mold and stuff, but it's still fun. Especially if you've got like a couple of laser pens to shoot through the steam.
Intense Saturday night. Well, unless you're all blocked up or your sinuses are blocked up and you just want to...
Yeah. What's that thing called? Sorry, proper tangent today. What's that thing called that you put in water and it like, and you sort of, maybe put a flannel over your head or something, and then you sniff it.
Is it Vicks Vapor Rub?
Well, I want to say yeah. Like it's the same ingredient, but I'm sure it's like a drop.
That's what my mum used to get me to do all the time. Stick a bit of Vicks Vapor Rub in a bowl. I was like, I'm not even ill. Just do it. It'll sort you out. It'll clear you out. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know what you mean, though. Some sort of...
Ointment, yeah.
Interesting. We'll have to work out what that is. Maybe treat ourselves to one weekend.
Yeah. We'll share one. Right, so, man, have you done any other gus this week before we get into our main meal?
I've watched a few things this week. Not absolutely loads. I watched a film called Galveston, which is... Galveston. Heard of that?
Is that like a... That's Galveston. The thing that soothes your stomach, isn't it? Soothes your heart.
Galveston. Mode. It sounds like... I think it's a place. Galveston? I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a book, and it was written by... what's his name? Nick Pizzolatto, True Detective, and I read the book a few years ago. It's sort of like a really hard boiled sort of like crime thriller, and then they've made a film of it with Ben Foster in the main role and an Elle Fanning as well. It's kind of like a hitman goes on the run with this young girl, and it was pretty awful. Unfortunately, I really liked the book, but it just seemed to be that every single thing that was good about the book was just completely pushed to the back in this.
No,
I mean,
words,
it's like a really,
no pages.
Really, no words or pages. It's a really like captivating story, but it was so uneventful. The whole story was just like, where is it going? And even though I remember, I guess that just shit goes to show how like a book with minimal plot can still be like really good and really enjoyable. But when you translate that to screen, that the lack of plot, unless it's got really,
I think it's like the book was coloured by the prose a little bit, like.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because you know what True Detective is like.
Yeah.
In terms of dialogue and stuff, I mean, the book was very much like that.
Okay.
So to have that, and it didn't translate well to screen, and also the script seemed really like light on some of that prose, I guess.
Yeah.
Which was disappointing. So I've seen that. And I watched Cam last night. Have you seen that on Netflix?
We watched it last night as well.
Oh, you watched it as well?
Yeah.
No way.
It's like the suggested thing like on the first page. We should have done. So, for people who haven't seen it yet, it's about a cam girl who is trying to go up the ranks of these, so it's like a top 50 list she's trying to get into. And then she's doing quite well by, you know, getting involved, showing her BAPS, you know, standard cam girl stuff. And then she goes to log in one day, and then someone, all her account's been locked out. She sees that someone has logged in as her and then is her. And then she thinks it's just a replay, but then she talks to it and it's talking back to us. And it's genuinely creepy, that bit, I thought. It was really well done.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's very like a stylish and very like sort of snappy thriller, very modern, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of screen capture stuff, but there's a lot of like close-ups of various social media and Googling and all these things, which obviously is getting more and more prominent in sort of films like this. And I think it was a pretty good film. It didn't answer all the questions it threw up for me. I've got all these questions and it kind of just, but still, I think it's pretty cool for like a doppelganger thriller. I think it ticked most of the boxes.
It's a nice, interesting idea. I think the thing that sort of was a little bit towards the end, the film had made a lot of sense. Do you know what I mean? It's quite a logical sequence of events, and then the ending for me, I was like, wait, what does that mean? How does, because she kind of beats this doppelganger by logic. but I don't know if that completely makes sense, what she was doing with it. I don't know.
No, I mean, are we supposed to think it's a computer program? Is that what we're supposed to think? Spoilers for Cam. anybody listening? But I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was, and I thought the lead actress was pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't know if I've seen her in anything before.
I don't recognize her. Think about at one point I said to Kat, "I bet it's a riff on Deepfake," because did you see the Deepfake stuff?
Yeah, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah,
yeah, and it was spoilers, but yeah, it's good. I definitely recommend it.
Yeah. So so that's a Netflix original, isn't it? And I think it only came out a few days ago. So
yeah,
worth a watch. What have you seen recently?
I watched Pops. I watched They Shall Not Grow Old. Have you seen that? It's document. So basically, there's all this old World War One footage, and Peter Jackson took it all and he colorized it, made it 4K. Added like sound effects and voice work and stuff to sort of make it seem as real and as modern as possible. And it's just a documentary. Like, it takes you through a soldier's experience of World War One, and it's as horrific as you'd imagine. Like, there's a lot of like horror to it, but it's just really. Because we always talk about World War II in school growing up and stuff. We don't really touch on World War I at all. This, because this is 100 years since Armistice, I think personally I've tried to like read up on it more, and this has been a great way to do it. I didn't know that Blighty, the term, comes from, it's an injury that wouldn't kill you but would get you sent back to England. So used to try and go out and get themselves a Blighty to get home.
I see. Just like a
shot in the hand or something like that, yeah. But those are really interesting. And if you kind of want to look up a bit more about the Great War, then it's definitely worth it.
So where did you see this? Was this
on iPlayer? It's on BBC iPlayer.
Oh, it's on iPlayer. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll be sure to give that a little look-see.
It's about
very nice. Anything else?
Like hour and 45 minutes, so it's quite long. but it's worth it. I don't think so. No, I think that's it. Some X-Files.
Well,
we watched some X-Files. Watched the Tombs episode.
Oh, you watched some X-Files. Oh, Tombs, classic.
Yeah.
Always good. Always a series that I return to over and over again. Especially like the Monster of the Week episodes. I feel like I can just watch any episode of that at any one time and not really have to care about chronological order.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what about you? You've been banging on about Adam Sandler recently.
Yeah, so I watched Adam Sandler 100% Fresh, which is like sort of like a compilation stand-up show on Netflix. Because someone just told me it was good, and they sent me a link, and it kind of made me have a little bit of a chuckle, so I thought I'd watch it. And Adam Sandler, obviously, is the kind of guy who obviously enjoyed a lot of his older stuff, but his newer films, I've never really given a shot, because obviously things went a little bit downhill. Probably like, what, mid-2000s?
I don't know if that's even true that they went downhill, because those films, those older films that we enjoyed as kids,
probably aren't as good. Still,
when I look back at reviews, I think, oh, people feel the way I do about as new films.
Blinded by nostalgia, but you know, the likes of Happy Gilmore, Big Daddy, even like stuff like Mr. Deeds, I enjoyed. So, but yeah,
Click.
New films. I've never seen. Never seen Grown Ups. I've never seen. Is it Adam and Eve or something like that?
I've not heard that one.
Adam and Eve, Jack and Jill.
Okay.
Jack and Jill, that's what I meant. Not Adam and Eve.
Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted. Yeah, so basically this 100% Fresh is kind of like funny little quirky songs about just the most random things ever. some of it's like just about his family and his standard life, but others are rather random. But I was belly laughing like from start to finish. It's just, it is just hilarious. And it's just really heartfelt as well. Like towards the end, he does a couple of sort of like very heartfelt songs. He does the song from The Wedding Singer. You know that?
And I just wanna grow. Was bullshit. That one.
No. The nice one from the end. But grow old with you, or something like that.
Yeah, I can't
he does that. He does a tribute to Chris Farley. It was just great. And I watched it, and then I talked about it with some other people, and then we watched it. And I watched it again. So I watched it three times. Wow, and each time I was kind of enjoying it. So, I mean, it's probably not everyone's cup of tea, but it just really, it is 100% fresh. It's called 100% fresh. It felt 100% fresh.
What did it get? What's it on Rotten Tomatoes? Is it 100% fresh?
Probably not. Which is probably annoying considered. I wonder if it is a riff. It's got to be a riff on that, isn't it? Because he does mention Rotten Tomatoes at one point in the show. It's currently at 92%.
Really?
Audience score 92.
That's surprising.
Yeah. So what does it say? I'm trying to find a decent quote, but it doesn't look like I can.
You know, there's those films, weird films that you get really emotionally into that you kind of feel like this probably doesn't deserve this amount of emotional investment. The ending of Click makes me cry like a toddler every time. It's just something about it that really gets me.
Right, like a toddler. I mean, yeah, that's good. Click is one of the Adam Sandler good'uns. But yeah, definitely check this out if it sounds like it'd be your cup of tea. I think even if you've been a fan of Adam Sandler's at any point in his career, it's probably worth a watch.
Yeah, I'll give it a go. I think, I don't know if Kat's watched it yet.
She's a big Adam Sandler. Give it a go. Fan. All right.
And other than that, is it just the feature for tonight?
It looks like it.
Overlord, which isn't Alone in the Dark, which we've talked about reviewing.
Yeah, we've been avoiding Alone in the Dark for a while, haven't we?
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, it's one of those bad films. You're just like, oh my God, am I really going to hate it so much? But yeah, Overlord came out in cinemas sort of like, what, last week? And seeing as you'd seen it and I was going to see it, it probably made sense that we both
gave it a go. Have you got the details on it?
Man's got the deets.
By the way, I was completely sold on the poster. Like the artwork for this film has been amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. It's been great. And the trailers look good as well, like the soundtracks, AC/DC and Ting. So Overlord is a 2018 American war horror film directed by Julius Avery and written by Billy Ray and Mark L. Smith. It stars Jovan Adipo, Wyatt Russell, Mathilde Olivier, and more, produced by J.J. Abrams through Bad Robot Productions. The plot follows several American soldiers who are dropped behind enemy lines the day before D-Day and discover secret Nazi experiments.
Yeah, So we've got 80% of Rotten Tomatoes, not bad. 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb, pretty standard. It's gross $26 million, but it had a budget of $38 million. So it's lost money. And I kind of feel like it out after Halloween. So the whole big budget horror thing, I don't know if people are a bit like tired of it after Halloween.
Maybe maybe. This could have been an early October release, seeing as Halloween was seeing as Halloween was like right to the tail end of October. It might have been a good idea to release it early, but you know, it's not up to me, is it?
No, it's not, unfortunately. So it's good. I mean, what are your initial thoughts? What did you think?
So I mean, I'd not seen all that much of this. I think I've seen like one trailer, and obviously all the artwork had been shared, but I think I'd only ever seen the trailer once, and I thought, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Obviously getting the huge Wolfenstein vibes from it.
Yeah.
In particular, like, you know, obviously like the later Wolfenstein games, like the two recent ones on PlayStation 4. And you know, Nazi zombies are always entertaining. It struck me as a kind of film that would probably just be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I did find it a lot of fun. It's not a perfect film. It kind of, I think the third act gets a little bit, kind of tails off a little bit. Whoop.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a very visceral experience. It was very loud, brash. You know, I was a bit, you know, and I think you, even though these characters aren't the best written characters, you do kind of like care about certain things. But I don't know. I kind of wished it went, it felt like a very, very contained film, even though it kind of spills out across like quite a large area, and obviously especially with the intro scenes, it's quite large scale. It just felt very contained, and it almost felt like it needed to get a bit bigger.
Yeah.
It needed to get a bit bigger than all of these close corridors and tiny little winding passages. It needed to get a bit bigger than that for me to really care about the third act. And I think the third act, by the time it ends, it was a bit like, oh
yeah,
oh right.
That's one of my sort of points that I got a bit annoyed with. It's so you go through two of the big locations in the film, and then they go back, and then they go back, and they go back to the other location again. And I kind of feel like in a film like this, you can't retread your steps. You have got to
keep moving forward to the next level.
Yeah, you've got to have you've got to go a level deeper into hell, or like further into Wonderland, or something crazy.
And it's like, oh, we've seen something despicable. Now, what else can you give me? Do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, it's the same again, but maybe not even as worse. Or you know, it doesn't seem like. Yeah. Doesn't seem like this. I mean, also the stakes. Obviously, we know what the stakes are from the get go on this, but I don't feel like it's ever elaborated on. You kind of feel like, well, if they don't do that, then.
Well, so they
does
do.
Does it matter?
They do say that the idea is that they need to blow out this communications tower, which is built inside a church, because Nazis are horrible bastards. I think that's what they say. And if they don't, the planes won't be able to land on D-Day, which is the next day. So, I mean, I think it's like the emotional stakes. Like, I don't really give a shit about any of the characters, which isn't a bad thing because it is kind of just like schlocky, crazy B-movie, but with big budget fun. But I did kind of feel like a bit removed from it a little bit, especially towards the end.
I mean, I think you get like plenty from the main character. Maybe not plenty, but you get enough from the main character to kind of like drive this forward. But I think, yeah, kind of with everybody else, you're a bit like, well, everyone's kind of a little bit forgettable. And I think they try and add an element of humanity. You know, you've got a little kid in the film, and his relationship with a certain soldier is supposed to be like quite an impactful sort of moment.
Yeah,
but I don't know. And also with the villain, like essentially who is the main villain, although it was a bit like, who is the main villain? It sort of felt like for a while, but then I guess one guy is the main villain, but I don't know how I felt about him. I was a bit like, he doesn't obviously he's a threat, but was he, I don't know if he was that great as a villain. I think there was a lot of stuff in this film that to me felt very, very similar to stuff that's come before it. So there was a lot that reminded me of Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
People hiding somewhere, trying to be quiet, and suddenly, do you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
That's what I feel like. It's the problem with this film is its biggest pro is also probably its biggest con. Biggest pro is that it's celebrating the stuff that's gone before: Wolfenstein, Reanimator, Inglourious Basterds, and like 80s action movies. Like there's one point towards the end where it's just like a fight scene between the bad guy and the good guy getting like slowly leveling up. Over beating each other, and I was like, this could be a Jean-Claude Van Damme film. But at the same time, that's the best thing about it, and also the worst thing about it, because it doesn't feel fresh.
in any particular way. It feels like it's just hitting the same notes that we've seen many times before when we're kids.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. It was I was fully invested in this, I think, for the majority. But yeah, as I mentioned, the third act, I kind of did feel a bit like,
Yeah, yeah. Again, the most horrific best bit is like halfway through the film, maybe two thirds of the way through the film, when they first get the juice and inject it. But we'll get into that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get into it.
Yeah. Well, so characters, we got Jovan Adepo playing Boyce. He's our main character, a black American soldier. I don't think the blackness really comes into it too much. You'd think Nazis would talk about that a bit more. I thought he was pretty solid. I don't know that guy from anything else before. Wyatt Russell plays Ford. He looks exactly like his dad at times. And there's one point when he talks, and I'm like, that sounded just like Kurt Russell.
That's insane.
But he was really good. Played that part really well. Mathilde Olivier plays Chloe. She's the French, I don't want to say resistance fighter, but she kind of becomes that halfway through. A lot of these actors I didn't really know too much about. Some of them from Game of Thrones.
The villain character, I've seen him in a few things. I think he was in Ghost in the Shell. That Johan.
Oh, I've seen that one.
Philip Bilou. Yeah. Kind of recognizes his face.
Yeah. So who else is the big character? I guess there's the Tibbet guy. Is he the guy I'm thinking of? Is he the sort of New York, Brooklyn guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Played by John Magaro.
Yeah.
Relatively unknown casting.
Yeah. I mean, majority of everyone is unknown. But then again, do you think sometimes, how do you feel about J.J. Abrams' name now being attached to something? Because obviously back in 10 years ago, maybe less than that, as soon as J.J. Abrams' name was attached to something, it was almost like, oh, right, okay, so we got to see this. This is going to be badass. But now, how do you feel about it, especially with like as a producer credit? Do you feel like sometimes it's just there? Like, do you really see any much of him shining through? I know he's not the director.
Yeah. There's a certain, I don't know what it is. Even watching this, I could kind of tell that it was very J.J. Abramsy, because it used to be like the lens flare stuff was going on. But it, like, especially the first section of this with the action when they're in the plane and he falls out of the plane and whatever, that still felt very Bad Robot Productions to me.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But to me, if you see some of J.J. Abrams' name on it, like especially now, it doesn't really, because he's been attached to so many shows that I've never ever seen or bothered with, I'm a bit like, oh, J.J. Abrams, I kind of,
yeah.
And I don't think that would affect it. Like, if his name wasn't attached to this, I probably would have still seen it.
I don't know if I've ever been like that though, really, with J.J. Abrams. I don't know.
No. I don't think I have either. I was just wondering how it affected you.
What are the big hitters for him? I'm thinking like Lost.
So Lost, Super 8, obviously the original Star Trek, Cloverfield. And then he kind of just, Star Wars.
Oh yeah.
Star Wars. That's how you pronounce that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Star Wars. So those are the big hitters. And I think he is doing episode 9, isn't he now, Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there we go. And has he done a Mission Impossible as well? Or maybe he was a producer on the latest Mission Impossible? Yeah, he was a producer on Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's been a producer on a few of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was supposed to be a Cloverfield film, potentially, right?
Is that true?
I don't know. So
What? Overlord?
Yeah.
How many times have you heard that, though? What else was supposed to be a Cloverfield film recently?
Cloverfield wasn't it like, Paradox? Well, was it
wasn't it? I swear A Quiet Place was possibly one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Basically, let's just assume that every film starts out as potentially going to be a Cloverfield film.
Well, it's a safe bet.
And then eventually.
To say it is.
Yeah.
And then if it's wrong, then if it's not, then, you know. It's gonna
if it's not, then you go, well, I probably weren't going to be anyway, mate.
Exactly. Okay, so this film starts exactly how the Wolfenstein game starts. Like, it's exactly the same. So the flying, the lighting is the same. They're flying into the sunset, the sunrise in France and Normandy, and the planes, and then they're all of them are paratroopers getting ready to go. It's all very... I think this entire opening sequence is like 15 minutes long. And my butt was closed the entire way through.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm glad for everything. Yeah.
I'm glad for whoever you were with that your butt was closed.
Yeah.
You have Skip. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure he's happy about that.
So down the plane, there's lots of shouting. It's very noisy. Things are blowing up outside.
Fuck it out.
It's like bonfire night. And then the plane gets hit, I think. And we also get to meet some of the characters whilst we're on the plane.
So we're kind of we're introduced to everyone kind of one by one. We're introduced to like a core, is it a captain as well? Who's obviously, well, he didn't last very long. But yeah. We're introduced to everyone and kind of like a bit, well, there's like a photographer.
Yeah.
Then there's obviously Wyatt's character. What's his name? Boyce. No. Boyce is the main
man. Wyatt's Ford, like Captain Ford.
Wyatt's Ford. So it introduced to Ford, you know, oh, he's putting this... In this,
that smouldering handsome guy in the corner. Yeah, he's seen stuff, man.
Rumor has it he was put in this platoon because he shot his superior or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. So we get like a sort of a New York guy who's like a bit of a douche.
Yeah,
like a quiet guy. There's like a photographer. So we're introduced to everybody. Everyone's got their own thing going on. All right.
No women, no. It's surprising in today's world.
No bloody women, mate. That is. Disgraceful.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Then the bombs hit. They go into the plane car. And then they all start jumping out. They all start jumping out.
It's one of those things where you're like, literally, if you look out of the plane, why would you want to jump out into it? There's debris, there's bullets, there's planes going down.
Yeah.
So just jump out. You've got a parachute, you'll be fine.
Yeah. It looks like you're jumping into hell or jumping into... One of them jumping out and saying, "This looks like a Cloverfield film. I've heard it's going to be Cloverfield."
Yeah. All we need is a massive creature coming out of the water. Yeah. So Boyce jumps out, and we kind of stick with him as he's falling, and we sort of see he's kind of spinning, bullets flying. I mean, if that was me, I'd be hit by a bullet straight away. I reckon that's just the kind of luck I'm dealing
with. On purpose. All right, yeah, like luck.
Yeah, just lean your head out.
Try to
header a bullet because he can't be bothered. And obviously he lands in the water. I quite like the shot when he lands in the water and he comes up out of his parachute stuck on his face. That was kind of quite iconic in terms of what we were going to see later in the film. What word am I thinking of? It's happening now. You're going to see it later.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, thank you. A bit of foreshadowing there. Cuts his way out. Gets onto dry land.
Yeah. Gets a towel. Towel dries himself off.
Gets toweled down and air dryer on.
Yeah. And then, so everyone's getting shot. All the paratroopers, there's someone hanging out a tree, dead. I think he sees, he comes across his captain and doesn't get a chance to save him because he's immediately blown to bits. He's saved by Wyatt Russell. And he says, like, keep down, keep quiet. And then there's a lot of sneaking around and a lot of, they kind of, picking up crew members and stuff as they go, but most of them are dead. I think they only end up with the New York guy, the photographer, and someone else, a writer, who goes on about how he wants to write a book about it.
He's going to write a book about this. This will happen. We'll see this throughout the film.
Yeah.
He'll be going, that was a good bit. Write that bit down. Yeah. Oh, that'll be chapter four. Write that bit down. But no, he stands on a landmine and is immediately blown to smithereens.
Literally smithereens. Like, there's more than one smithereen. Of him left.
Yeah.
And
he was a single smithereen.
He was a single smithereen left. Landing on our main character's head and he wiped it off.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah. But that's the end. That's quite a good bit. And I feel like I was kind of emotionally invested around this book toward some of these little characters. I didn't really know him very well. But at the same time, especially later on, someone else gets nailed. And like even then I was thinking, oh,
bit of a shame. I want to know a bit more about this guy.
Yeah. So, and then they come across the lady.
So there's a French woman, Chloe, who's like scavenging loads of bits and bobs just for a laugh, I guess. And they kind of take her captive, but I think at the same time they're like, hey, we're the good guys, and you got to lead us to your place.
Yeah, we get the impression that Wyatt's character is there to complete the mission against anything else above all odds. So like he'd be willing to cap this woman in the kneecaps.
Yeah. If he needed to.
If he needed to, yeah. He didn't need to, fortunately. So So what, she takes them to the town, I think, where we spend a lot of the rest of the film.
Yeah, so she takes them to this little small French, well, you say town, but it's like a tiny little village, it seems. So obviously the church, which they need
rustic.
To... Yeah, the church, which they need to destroy is sort of like up on a hill somewhere. And all the American soldiers kind of take cover in Chloe's gaff. And she lives with her like tiny little 8-year-old brother, who's a character. He's a right card, isn't he? He loves a bit of baseball.
Yep.
And then her aunt is there as well, but she's
a character as well.
She's a character as well.
Yeah.
She's locked. She's in her bedroom. She's got real breathing
asthma.
She's got real bad asthma.
Yeah.
And obviously she's been disfigured by some sort of Nazi experiment that's been taking place in this church. We do get a little look at her when Boyce goes to the door.
She says like "oogity boogity," and it's just going to move the head away.
She looks like Jeff Goldblum at about stage 5 of his transformation in The Fly.
Very testicular, I think.
What does she say? Oogity boogity, oogity boogity.
She like sticks her face through the door and then goes back.
Yeah, you can see there are bits in this where you can just see a jump scare coming.
Yeah.
If someone looks away and looks at someone else and leaves their other side completely exposed to something. And then when he looked back, oogity boogity.
Exactly, yeah. Oogity boogity moment. But so here's the thing. So the Nazis, we get the impression that they're coming into town and they're taking people into the lab somewhere in the church to perform experiments on them. Later on, we find out that they do that and then they burn a lot of them as well. But then this grandma character, they've just let back out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To live in this house, like lodge in this house.
Well, I kind of get the idea that she's kind of hiding, like that Chloe's kind of got her out of there somehow, and she's like hiding her now. So she's off her nut, but you know, just leave her in that room. To her own devices, she'll be fine.
Yeah, that's how most people are with their grandmas when they live in the house. Just leave her there; she's fine. She makes some weird noises.
Just leave her there.
She'll shout at the TV.
She hasn't eaten in 2 weeks. She's eaten some of it.
Classic grandma. they're hiding in the loft. I think they're making some plans. At one point, is it now? What's his name? Sends. No, they don't split up yet, do they?
No.
Boyce doesn't go into the lab yet.
Boyce doesn't go into the lab yet. First of all, what we do is one of the Nazi officers, Waffner, I think his name is. He's like a classic Waffner. He's a classic. He's like one of the high-ranking Nazi paramilitary dudes, but he's classic. He's got his hair slicked back.
Yeah.
He's a big tall bloke.
So here's the thing: this whole area around here didn't. So when I'm watching Inglourious Bastards, the part of it feels like, wow, this is actually in France. This is an actual Nazi officer. To me, this part of the film didn't feel very real. I don't know if that's just because of the location or because the actors weren't quite pulling it off, but I don't know
maybe
what it was.
It felt a bit like a bit of a low budget play.
Yeah,
I mean, do plays even have high budgets?
No,
you know what I mean. It felt a bit like a play. Yeah, sometimes people were kind of there were things being said and things happening where you're a bit like, it feels like they're trying to fill space in this play rather than like being a high budget.
Anything that spends like too long in a small room, I kind of feel like becomes play-like. But like in Inglourious Basterds, those bits are done like incredibly well because like the tension is drawn out until finally they shoot the Jews under the floorboards. But
yeah,
like this is just, and the fact that they came back to this location again about three times or something, I was kept just thinking,
yeah,
I don't know, it's getting a bit wearisome now.
Yeah, so this Nazi dude, he's got some sort of an agreement with Chloe. Well, I say an agreement, obviously, is something that it's an agreement that he's come to on his own. That basically he gets busy with her now and again when he's feeling randy. So he tries to force himself upon her.
Yeah.
But then Boyce is obviously, of all the characters, we're made to think that he's obviously the most human out of everybody. He just about made it through, what are we talking?
Basic training.
Just about made it through that.
But he's not a killer. That's what they keep saying.
He's not a killer, yeah. So there's a story about it.
Boise.
You couldn't even kill a mouse. So apparently it was a time where there was a mouse knocking about.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, Boyce, stamp on its head. And he apparently didn't. He just went, oh, it's all right, little mouse. Take him outside.
I do that. Is it the spider?
Well, there's no need, is there?
I won't kill it. I'll put it outside.
Not a Nazi mouse.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Or is it?
This one was, though, so that was the problem. Like, you can't even kill a Nazi mouse.
Can't even kill a Nazi mouse. Of all the Nazis, you couldn't even kill a little Nazi mouse.
That mouse gassed 6 million in kind of mice.
Oh, he did. He did. It's true.
Adolf Whisker.
Oh, I like it. I can't think of one. I'm not laughing at the Holocaust.
No.
So, yeah. So what else happened? So then... A little bit later, they sort of start working out what their plan's going to be. So after they stop the raping, they tie up
the
Nazi dude. Stop that! Naughty! They tie him up in the attic.
Newspaper rolled up.
What, on his nose?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Water pistol on him. Bad boy. Yeah.
Naughty. Yeah. And then Wyatt goes to town on him with a knuckle duster with like a knife built in, which I think is pretty...
That's pretty gruesome. It's quite difficult to watch, actually. Because we're kind of made to believe that Boyce doesn't want to watch because he says it's going to be too gruesome, and it is. It sounds horrendous.
So he just starts laying the shit out of him.
Sounds like he's making meatballs.
For what reason? He kind of just wants like details on how they can get into the church and destroy this thing, or you know.
Yeah, he says like, how many of you are there and that kind of thing.
How many of you know are there? How many? You know, when do all of you go and have a bit of din-dins?
Yeah.
so I know when to go in. But then Boyce kind of like. What's your favorite Pokemon? Mr. Mime.
Wrong.
wrong.
Yeah.
And then Boyce kind of like accidentally gets into the laboratory, which is all a bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of comes out of nowhere. Wait, so he pops over to check out some stuff, like to scout some stuff. End up getting attacked by a dog, Nazi dog, by the way. And then the dog pushes him into... the back of this.
Well, he runs away from the dog, and then a truck's driving past, so he just jumps in the back to get away from the dog, and there's just like a load of dead bodies in there.
Yeah, this was a good moment. This was another, my butt went closed up again.
This was a Wolfenstein mission. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure I've played this exact mission. Dog chases you, get in the back. You're infiltrating the compound, sneaking around. You know,
some of my favorite Wolfenstein moments are when you just got the knives and you just like from across the room, and then you just like one shot killed him. And then you go and pick up the knife from them and then do it again to someone.
Someone sees you and you're like, "Where are you? You've seen me."
Yeah, start again.
Start again. You're twat. But obviously, he does well. Like just ducking out of the way in time when the Nazis are going past.
Yeah.
And once he gets in there, he basically goes into this laboratory place and finds one of his mates who was in the plane with him.
Who's
strung up
in this underground lab. It gets kind of progressively worse and worse as he sort of goes through it, because he looks through one hole and sees a guy. I don't think he actually sees what's going on, but it scares him. Boogity boogity, and then he looks to this one.
Yeah, everyone keeps doing that.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'm just having a look to see if everyone's all right. And boogity boogity. Oh, for God's sake.
It's French for hello. And then he sort of he walks for everyone. I think at one point, like, there's people who... Oh, yeah, he sees one person who's just a head, and she's saying, like, kill me or something like that. And it's, like, she's like, you know, like top of the head's missing and all this kind of stuff. You just see a bit of spinal column.
That was pretty gruesome. I wanted to see more of this stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, when I saw that, I was a bit like, whoa, that's horrible. But maybe that's all the budget they had, was just to do a talking head.
Yeah. And then he goes into another room and then there's like people bagged up and they're using... So I didn't understand what the hell was going on really, but they were using... There's like a big pool of tar or oil that they're distilling through these human bodies. And then the human bodies, once they've distilled it through that, they get this juice that they've got in these syringes.
It's just a Kia Ora. That's all it is. Or Umbonga.
Umbonga. I think he takes one, he pockets one of these like syringes full of this juice. And
he puts a syringe in his pocket, like with just.
There's
just
no sticks, like cap on it. There's nowhere.
No.
Nothing.
You put it in. You know what's going to happen. You're just going to like lean over in a minute and just like ah, boink.
Okay. So then he gets out. Oh no. Yeah. So he sees his mate. So his mate's there, and he's got this horrendous thing sticking in his body there, and he's alive.
Spike.
Well, yeah. Oh yeah. So he pulls a spike out. But it's like, it looks like his skin's kind of like stitched to it as well around the sides.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing to him. Who knows? Nazi experiments. That's one thing. So a lot of this stuff, I'm like, what is happening? Like, what are they actually trying to do?
I mean, yeah, because we've seen so many things like this, we kind of understand they're trying to make some sort of like, it's all got to be like weapon-based. So they're doing experiments on people to try and create sort of like bio, what are they called? BOWs, so whatever they're called. The thing, basically the same thing as Resident Evil, so everything's weaponized and they want to create these beasts so they can like unleash on people. I guess that's kind of what we, but it's never fully explained in any way to anyone who wouldn't be aware of that unless they'd seen Wolfenstein and just
again it's very Wolfenstein, because in Wolfenstein there's a whole thing where they use people and put their brains in jars and so it's cool. It is a cool thing to see, and I do enjoy Nazi experiments, Nazi horror. It's something quite interesting about it. But so you see this mate, gets him out. I can't remember his name. And then he helps him out.
Rosenfeld?
Rosenfeld.
I think his name is. So and then they go back to the farmhouse. So this is where they could perhaps move on to another location, or we could get something else happening now. But it's kind of like, so you've got to think the Nazi officer has been in that house for ages, but none of the other Nazi soldiers have come in to like look for him or anything.
They just think he's getting busy. Raping that woman for?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's horrible, really. So so they all basically decide, you know, what they're going to do in their next step to sort of get into the church, because Ford manages to get a little bit of information out of Waffner. But he gets the photographer guy to go upstairs and bring Waffner down on his own. And then this Nazi guy kind of like fights his way out, shoots and kills the photographer. So his name's Chase.
Yeah, I liked him as well. He was one of the guys I was a bit sad to see.
Yeah, I liked him. But then Boyce is just like, oh, well, I just got this magic Umbongo serum from, and I've seen what it's been doing to people down there. So this guy's just died. Why don't I just inject him with it to see what happens? Just to see what happens.
Yeah. So the effects here were pretty good. I think it's all the kind of practical effects. The guy kind of wakes up. If you've seen Reanimator, then it's exactly that same thing. You see him with the juice and they wake up. And then he does like this thing. He's kind of like all hyped up. He doesn't know what's going on. He does something that kind of flicks his neck back, but flicks it back too hard because this juice gives him super strength as well. Flicks his neck back too hard, and it's like entire bone sort of structure around his neck and collarbone stuff just sort of splinters and shoots up in all weird directions, but he's still alive. Yeah. Still sort of trying to talk to them. I don't know why
he's like, what have you done to me?
Oh, yeah. And then Boyce, they shoot him a few times, and Boyce just hasn't killed anyone before, hasn't even killed a Nazi mouse, but suddenly starts bashing this guy's face in.
Yeah. Cause, and to be fair, he injected him with the serum, so he should feel bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your fault.
Good. That's a good moment. I think maybe my favourite moment from the film.
Yeah. And then it does all sort of kick off here, where the Nazi soldier manages to escape, takes the little French boy hostage. The little French boy, he's quite a good character in this. He's bonding with some of the soldiers. He loves playing baseball, copying them. He's pretty cool. It looks like he could have his airbrush though. His hair's like,
Well, there's a whole thing where like he wants to be friends with the American New York guy, but the New York guy is an arsehole.
What are you saying? It's all pops and clicks. You're speaking French. But, not interest.
So we get the whole like bit of redemption story with him. Towards the end, he sort of becomes friends with the kid. And I think when the kid goes missing, he sort of steps up to the plate a bit. Ooh, baseball reference. And then...
Yeah, very nice.
So then they go, okay, we've got to go save this kid. Wyatt doesn't want to do it because he thinks if we go there, then we're definitely going to die. But again, he steps up to the plate. All of them do. And they go, we're going to rescue this kid and we're going to blow up the tower. And then that's our sort of lead up to the final sequence of the film.
Yeah.
Bad guy. So, by the bad guy now gets shot in the face as he's running away. Wapner. Yeah. And then he starts to inject himself with all the juice when he gets back as well. And we get a reveal of him.
He just overdoes it. They just go like, oh, you can only have a little bit of this Umbongo. And he goes, I'll have it all! I'll have a whole multi-pack. Injects it into himself.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I expected to see something else, like more of a transformation, maybe because he injected himself with so much.
So it's a pretty good transformation at first. I kind of feel because he's got this, like his face is missing and stuff. But we saw that that's in the trailer. So I kind of feel like that big reveal... is kind of been spoiled to some degree. But also, again, I get a bit annoyed at this kind of, now he's level 2 bad guy.
Yeah.
And then later on, he becomes level 3 bad guy. Like, that whole... It just reminds me of Dragon Ball Z. It just kind of feels like it's Frieza versus Super Saiyan Goku.
I know what you mean. I don't mind it too much, but the thing is, there wasn't too much of a physical transformation, I don't think.
Okay.
So, like, it's like, oh, he's stronger.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's not, like... I wanted to see something like, you know, something else happening, extra arms coming out. I don't know.
Yeah. So as they sneak into the base, a couple of them get chased by, there's like a prisoner who comes out. So it's weird because at one point they go past this prison door, the door's open, and you see like half a body inside, and then they leave it and run away. And then someone runs out of that room. I don't know if it's the guy who had half a body or, I don't know, it's weird. But like his arms all kind of messed up and scarred over with like a, so I kind of feel like, this guy, there should have been more of these guys, these crazy, goonish sort of zombie things, because there's only one of them, and then that's it. That's all the bad guys gone. There's a few Nazis, him, and the main bad guy.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they were sort of coming out of everywhere, and there was like a big crowd of them, or sea of them, and they're all running one way, I don't know. Or different types of creatures, you know, not just humans, maybe something else, I don't know.
Someone who just had a head, like, just sort of like...
Yeah, you know? because we saw something very interesting with just a head, In early stages. It would have been nice to see someone a little bit different after that. So a bit more variation, I guess, in what the threat was.
But he gets burned anyway by the girl. He's chasing after the girl, and she gets her big moment where she burns with a flamethrower.
Yep.
Tibbet and Chase, I think that's their names.
They're laying down a covering fire, aren't they?
They get some badass moments when Chase saves the kid. He comes out of cover to get the kid. Wyatt Russell's character gets in a big fist fight. This is the Jean-Claude Van Damme action film moment where he gets into a fist fight with... I mean, there is a pretty gruesome bit because the bad guy picks him and hooks him on a...
Right in the front as well, yeah. And he kind of has to get himself off of it.
Yeah.
Hey! Oh!
Yeah, but then he injects himself with the juice, so he gets leveled up, and then they start fighting. All it needed was a bit of slow mo and a bit more like action music. And a bit more groaning. Yeah.
Again, it was very close quarters, and it kind of all happened in this one sort of small area. And I don't know, like that, it's quite in terms of like large scale action sequences.
Yeah,
there weren't that many, were there? And I don't think I needed like any extra ridiculous CGI or anything like that, but it would have just been good to see it. Because while they were leveling up, it was nice to see the sort of surroundings they were in kind of almost like level up, where we're suddenly in the hub of somewhere or something else. I don't know. I just felt like it needed something else.
Yeah.
Because again, it feels like it kind of starts and finishes, especially this final sequence, final fight, it starts and finishes pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think so. What happens, Boyce comes in and sort of gets in the way, I think. And then Wyatt's like, get out. Wyatt closes the door. Oh, because he's injected himself. So now he's like, no side should have this oil. It's too tasty. We're all going to get obese if this goes out to the nation.
I know.
And then when it all blows up.
Yeah, and then it's almost like, He has to go and finish setting this dynamite, but he manages to blow up the radio tower and the laboratory in one go.
The church comes down.
Church come down, which is nice. And then everyone's kind of reunited in the French. And we didn't lose too many people when you think about it, despite a lot of people kind of end up living. And then obviously the U.S. soldiers sort of all reconvene at this place. And then a higher up sort of asks Boyce for his side of the story. And there's a bit of a stupid bit where he sort of says, why did you place the dynamite underneath in the lab? Why didn't you place it in the church? That makes more sense. It seems like one of those. It's like, well, I destroyed the church, so why are you even asking me that? It seemed like it was just an excuse to put him in the position for him to say, oh, there's nothing down there, I'm going to hide it. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it needed that. Yeah. I think we kind of understood without having that, you know. But yeah, I think it kind of tails off a little bit quickly. It's a bit like, all right, this is what's happening, and then, oh, it's kind of sorted now, don't worry about it.
Yeah, sometimes like they got a bit tired. I do kind of feel like that last bit, they should have found like another part of the lab, or maybe should have saved some of that earlier on, and then there should have been more monsters coming out. It should have been completely hellish, sort of, because the start of the film is already at like 11. You know what I mean? Like that 11 sort of tenseness, and then it just sort of flattens out towards the end.
Flattens out, yeah. Also, did we see inside the church at any point?
No. See, they could have gone into the church.
Yeah, there was nothing inside the church. Like, that could have been the final, you know what I mean? Suddenly we got the final test,
yeah.
The final test, you know what I mean? We were kind of just stuck in these very narrow corridors and winding passages. And even though it felt quite claustrophobic, it didn't feel like that kind of film.
Yeah, it worked the first time Boyce went into it. And then the second time it was just, I don't know, it felt empty by then. I mean, the first time Boyce is in it and there's like loads of activity going off everywhere. There's people about to see him around every corner, but the second time it feels like when you've done a level on the game.
I was just going to say that. Yeah,
cleared it out, and then you feel fine. You're running around after that.
You go back to I forgot that one item, and you go back and there's literally no one anywhere.
So you're still running around, yeah. And you were so scared going through the first time. Yeah,
exactly.
So that's it, man. So some trivia.
Yes, please.
Number one, the title of the film is of course in reference to Lord Jonald Overington, the English Duke who punched the Nazi so hard his neck snapped. True or false?
Whose neck snapped?
Yeah.
What, his neck snapped? Or?
Oh, no, the Nazi's neck snapped.
False.
Punched someone so hard his own neck snapped.
Yeah. That's
Yeah. Ah! It is false.
Oh, look what you made me do.
Bloody Nazis. So it means it's about Operation Overlord, the code name for the Allied operation for the Battle of Normandy. Of course we all know that. Number two, how many actors in Overlord have also appeared in Game of Thrones? You can round it up to the closest one, and then I'll give you points on there.
Four?
Two. Jacob Anderson and Pilau Asbake.
I'm having a bit of that tonight.
Speaker is Wafner. Jacob Anderson, I know who he is, but I can't remember seeing him in this film. He's one of the Unsullied. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I've seen. I recognize this dude. The one you're on about. I've seen some.
Like,
of Game of
what
Thrones.
Point in the film was he in?
Yeah. I think maybe he was in the plane at the start, and then he just went, "See you later."
Okay, maybe he's the pilot or something. Number three. This is not the fourth film of the Cloverfield franchise. True or unfalse?
True or unfalse? This is not the fourth film. It's true.
Yes, it is in fact incorrect.
It's unfalse.
Yeah.
Let's see.
No, it's not. Of course not. Number four. Who is taller, J.J. Abrams or Wyatt Russell?
Wyatt Russell.
And I give you a bonus point if you can guess his height.
What, Wyatt Russell's height?
Yeah.
6'3".
So he is 6'1". J.J. Abrams is, of course, 6'5". No, J.J. Abrams is 5'7".
Oh, which, right.
Yeah. So, yeah,
Wyatt he Russell's is, taller. Of course.
Can you imagine J.J. Abrams is massive?
No. Like, I've never stood next to J.J. Abrams, but for some reason I know he's not very tall in my head.
You could tell. You could tell in his voice, in his timbre.
Okay. You could tell by his glasses.
Yeah. Number five, can you name the name of the Black Mirror episode that Wyatt Russell appeared in?
It is called
Gross.
Game. I'm in a game. I'm in a game, and I think that is it called like? No, I can't. I honestly can't remember.
Playtest.
Give me a clue. Oh, playtest. That was not a clue. Playtest. I don't think I would have got there.
Yeah.
Game test.
Close.
Play man.
Yeah. So yeah, man. Well done. All correct. Now you need to rate the film.
So I think when I came out of this film, I was a bit like, oh yeah, that was pretty awesome. But I think as time's gone on, I've kind of given it more thought. I was a bit like, I feel a bit withered. Yeah, I feel withered by it. And
unlike
I feel withered
Wafner's
in general.
Erection, Wafner. Which he held for a long time.
Yeah, so I reckon no more than a C minus. I don't think I'd go higher than that.
Wow, I was going to go B. B might be a bit high, but C minus is a bit low. So I'm going to say B minus.
Well, don't tell me what to do with my thing. I won't tell you, mate. B's a bit high. What's wrong with you?
B minus. I just think it's
B minus. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind watching it. I'd watch it again. Look, I really enjoyed it. I think it's not a perfect film, and it's kind of tiresome towards the end. But I just watched the first half an hour, and also I might like to rewatch the bit where the guy comes back alive and snaps his neck and stuff.
Yeah, I think that'd be lovely.
So,
yeah.
Next week. We are going to go to Alone in the Dark. Finally.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah?
Unless you want to go watch Suspiria, the new one.
I do want to watch Suspiria.
I do. I don't know when it's on or like where.
It's out now. I don't know if it's a wide release, but I'm pretty sure it's out now. It would be good for us to do Suspiria considering we did the original.
Yeah.
So it might be Suspiria, it might be Alone in the Dark, we shall see, but you know, either or really.
As you probably know, long time listeners, there's no point in even listening to what we say we're going to do.
Yeah,
it changes every time.
I reckon there's probably a time, like probably 20 episodes where we said, next week we're going to do this, and it's probably not a film we've ever seen.
Do you think there's one we've missed off that we've not done?
I don't know, maybe. Yeah. Could be.
We lost one along the way. Okay, anything else you want to let the people know?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving, I think.
Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and good tidings to all.
So, this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovach Kalman for the theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes, and remember to hit subscribe. And thanks to my co-host, Ben, for being a right or a dude.
Thank you, Luke, for also being a right real horror dude.
All right. Cheers.
Bye-bye now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.